Ephesians 5, if you'll look with me at verse number 22, and we'll read down to verse 25, and then we'll go to chapter 6 and read the first four verses. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now drop down to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now last week we spoke, when we talked about leading our homes, we spoke on this subject with the emphasis about take charge. Remember that? You need to take charge. We didn't mean in a mean way or a hateful way, but simply that parents are supposed to be in charge of the home. I say that, and I you almost think, well, duh. I mean, I think everyone understands that. But then you look around in our society and say, I don't know if everyone understands that or not. But the parents are supposed to take charge. Now the truth is, in every home, there's someone is in charge. Unfortunately, it's not always the parents in charge. Someone's in charge. Sometimes it's the kids. Sometimes it's maybe chaos is in charge, or maybe sometimes they just let the world come in, and the world just dictates how they, you know, whatever the world may think is how they kind of do things in the home, and that's not the proper way, the biblical way of doing it. And we made this statement. This is one of those statements that kind of rile people sometimes, but it's a true statement. Imperfect parental leadership. And by the way, all parental leadership is imperfect. There's no perfect parent. You're not a perfect parent. Your parent wasn't a perfect parent. And your kids grow up, they won't be perfect parents. Okay? We are all sinners. We're striving. We should be trying to do our best, but we're all imperfect. So imperfect parental leadership is better than no parental leadership in chaos. I think sometimes we say, well, you know, I don't know everything, and I don't want to make mistakes, so I'm not going to even do anything. I'll just let my kids figure it out. Well, they'll figure out things, but probably not what you want them to figure out or they need to figure out. And so imperfect parental leadership is better than no parental leadership in chaos. So we looked at take charge. That was the first aspect of leading our homes. Now we're going to look at it from a different angle, and this is the idea of rule, R-U-L-E, rule well. Now it's important that when we think about taking charge and ruling, and we're not talking about in a, you know, that everyone's got a stick on their arm or they're walking around goose steps. Okay, we're not talking about that type of take charge. We're talking about in a biblical way. But as we do this, there has to be a ruling well. In other words, there should be a certain type of leadership that's coming across. Let me give a little illustration or maybe a little side street here. When my kids were young, when they were little, growing up, and they're like my kids, like your kids like my kids. You know, they had their own ideas and opinions and thoughts about things. And sometimes, what my wife and I, the direction where we were going, is not necessarily the direction the kids wanted to go. So we didn't have voting. We didn't say, well, you know, let's talk about it. It was, if this is what the Bible says, this is what's right, this is what we're going to do. Didn't really matter what I thought. Doesn't matter what the kids think. It matters what the Bible says. And so I would say something like this to them, and I meant it in a kind way, but I'm not sure if it always came across that way. But I would say this. This isn't a democracy. It is a benevolent dictatorship. That was true. We weren't running a democracy in our homes. We weren't sitting around saying, okay, it's Sunday morning. Bethany, what do you think? Should we go to church? Holly, what do you think? Denny, what do you think? Jason, what do you think? Heather, what do you think? Okay, let's vote about it. No, it's Sunday morning. We're going to church because that's what you're supposed to be doing. So there wasn't a democracy. It was a benevolent dictatorship. And I always emphasize the word benevolent. Now, in reality, a home is not a dictatorship. We talked about that last week. Okay, and primarily because of this, if you understand the way it works, you're not the one, as a parent, you're not the one originating the orders. You're receiving from the Lord, and then you're supposed to be transferring it to your children. And so you're just like anyone else. You may be giving orders out, but you're receiving orders as well. And how well you receive your orders really determines how well those under you are going to take your orders. And so it's not a dictatorship. But on the surface, it may appear that way. I mean, the parents are given the orders and the children are supposed to be obeying. Now, one of the reasons that it's not a dictatorship, or it's not, even though it appears that way, it's really not that way, is this. If it's a true biblically led home, their focus, their well-being is the focus. I mean, you're not just, okay, there's always goofy people out there doing weird stuff, okay? Those are the weirdos, okay? Putting those to the side. The normal home is this. There's parents who have kids, and they love their kids. And they want what's best for their kids. I think every parent is that way. They want what's best for their children. And so they may not always do what their children want them to do, but the focus should be, what is best for my kids? Not what is what my kids want, not what does the world think, but what is best for my children? And so there is a benevolency when we're thinking about leading our homes. And that's why we're talking about this idea of ruling well. So let me give you a first statement, and we'll give you a couple points about this. Okay? It is important that parents take charge in the home. But it's equally important that they do it in a benevolent way. Now, if you only take the one lesson and don't take the other, then you get a lopsided. You ever make pancakes and you turn the griddle up too high and you pour the stuff in there, the pancake batter, and all of a sudden you get ready to flip it and the top side is doughy and the bottom side's all black and burnt. Okay, that's not a pancake you want to eat. But sometimes I think in our Christian life that's the way we are. We're not finished, not complete. We're not right on this side, and the other side, we're to the other extreme. And so we got to be careful about this. We want to be balanced. We want to be biblical in this. And so if all we're talking about is take charge, take charge, take charge, we might get the idea that, you know, we give the orders, we pound it in, it's my way or the highway, and I don't care if you like it or not. Well, that's not the attitude we want to have. We don't want to be wishy-washy about it. There's got to be some type of leadership, but at the same time, we want to have a benevolency about what we're doing, a well-ruling in what we're doing. So how can we do this? How can we both take charge and rule well? Well, I'll give you a couple ideas I have, I think, four I'm going to share with you this morning. So number one is this. A parent needs to be well-studied in the Word of God. If we're going to do this right, if we're going to rule well, then we need to know what the Bible teaches. Now, we said a minute ago that most of us are the same way. I think, again, there are always some weirdos and wackos, okay? There's always goofy people out there. But the majority of parents love their kids. They want what's best for their kids. But also, because of that, because our children are so near and dear to our heart, it's easy, if we're not careful, to let our heart lead us and guide us and direct us. And that because we love them, we sometimes tend to maybe give in or go along when we should be taking charge. And so if we're going to rule well, we got to make sure we know what the Bible says. There's a danger in letting our emotion and our feelings guide and direct us because they could mislead us. I know this is hard to believe, but how you feel about something may not be right. Just because you feel it doesn't make it right. Now, let me give you a couple of verses in dealing with an aspect of a family along this line. Think about this verse here, Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. And notice what it says next. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. It doesn't mean you don't care. What it means is this. You need to make sure they're doing right, even if they're not happy about it, even if they're crying because they don't want to do it. Right is right. You need to teach your kids right. You just can't give in just because there's tears coming down the The honest truth is this. Some kids could get the Academy Award. They can turn on those tears. I mean, I've watched kids do this. I mean, when they don't want to do something, it's like they're like, it's the mortal wound. Oh, and they're crying, they're weeping. And as soon as you give in, boom, tears are gone, they're happy. It's like, whoa, wait a minute there. This wasn't sincere. This wasn't real. And so you cannot be manipulated simply by your emotion. So you got to say, okay, you may not like this. This may not make you happy, but this is right to do, and this is what we need to do. Go back to our text, if you will, in Ephesians 6. Notice what it says here. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, this is a flip side. So, yeah, children can manipulate us, and that is, you've got to do what's right. Don't give in to the act there. But the other side is this. Notice what it says, provoke not your children to wrath. One of the ways you provoke your children to wrath is dealing with them in wrath. In other words, when you're angry and you're dealing with them out of your anger, that causes anger inside of them. And so, here's a rule of thumb. Okay, here's a rule of thumb. If you're not in control of yourself, then you cannot bring them in control. You, first of all, you gotta get hold of yourself. You can't be yelling and screaming and throwing things and grabbing them, shaking them, because all you're doing is provoking them to anger. That's not the way you do it. That's not how you treat them. Again, you're letting your emotions control you. You're being led by how you feel at the moment, and that is not right. You should never act out of anger when you're dealing with kids. Now, think about this statement. Our emotions will be involved as we deal with our family. Okay? So we're not saying you can't, we're not saying be Spock. Okay? You're going to have emotions. We're human beings. But those emotions need to be in submission to the principles of the Bible. The illustration I typically use is like a train. Here's the engine. In the old days, you had the engine, you had the coal car, you had the different other cars, and back here you had the caboose. Okay? The emotions don't have to be caboose. I mean, it's not like they have to be the last thing, but they can't be the engine. They can't be what's driving things. The principles of God's Word is the driving, the engine. Somewhere after that are the emotions. So we're not saying you can't have emotions, not saying be unemotional. We're not saying, you know, get rid of your emotions. Some people say, well, Pastor White says having emotions is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying emotions are wrong. I'm not saying don't have them. I'm simply saying don't let them control you. Don't let them be in the driver's seat. Okay? The principles of God's Word is what should determine how we deal with our family, not how I feel at the moment. Whether I feel good or feel bad, it doesn't matter. What's right is what matters. Now, how do we become well-studied in the Word of God? Well, a couple of thoughts along that line. Here's one. Well, since I give you this statement. Ruling well requires us to rule according to biblical principles. Okay, so now how can I gain some biblical principles so I can rule well? Well, watch this. I'm going to give you three quick thoughts. I know these aren't anything for you to write down, so just listen quickly. Read the Bible looking for examples how God deals with you. If you want to know how to deal with kids, how does God deal with you? You're His child, right? How does God deal with you? Let me ask you this. Every time you sin, does God come down and smack you aside the head and kick you and knock you into a wall? No, He's very gracious. He's very gracious. Now, He doesn't change what's right and wrong, but He does always treat us with grace and mercy and kindness and love. If we treat our children like God treats us, we will rule well. Here's another idea. Read the Bible looking for examples from other biblical characters, good or bad. Things they did well, things they did not so well. Abraham and Isaac, that's an example. David and his sons, there's some good, there's some bad example there. Hannah and Samuel, go on and on. Just read the Bible and say, here's a parent, here's a child. What did God record? What was the good? What was the bad? Here's some things to do, here's some things to avoid. One more thought about it. So you can read the Bible, see how God deals with us. Read the Bible and look for biblical characters and how they dealt with their family. And here's the third idea. Learn from those who have learned from the Bible. One of my favorite statements, Bob Jones Sr., is this. You cannot borrow character, but you can borrow brains. In other words, no one else can make the decisions for you and make you do right. You've got to make some choices. But you can borrow the brains of other people and learn some things from them. Now, put it in practice again. That's up to you. The character's up to you. But you can get some brains from other people. Learn from them. Read good books. We've mentioned this in a previous lesson. There's some good books out there that you can learn some things from. So a parent needs to be well studied in the Word of God. If we're going to rule well, we need to know what the Bible says. If you don't know what the Bible says, you're probably going to go like this. Okay, here's how I feel at the moment. Oh, no, now I feel like, this is how I feel. And that's not going to rule well. You're going to just be blown with the wind, this and that. You need to be grounded in the Word of God. Know what the Bible teaches and use that as the basis of what's right and wrong. So a parent needs to be well studied. Number two, Here's the second lesson. Understand that every child is different. And we needed to handle it somewhat differently. Now, we're going to go a little different direction on some of these, because some things we've already covered. I just don't want to just keep saying the same thing every Sunday, even though I'm sure you're sitting here saying, sounds like you say the same thing every Sunday, but I don't want to do that. So understand every child is different. This is one of the things that really jumped out at me, having kids. And I guess everyone should know this, but it just really dawned on me, having five kids, from the moment you bring them home from, now actually from the moment they're born, but in my perception, from the moment they come home from the hospital, they're different. I mean, the way they, whether, how long they sleep, how often they eat, everything is different about them. I mean, there's some things that are general, okay? They eat and they do other things, and you call for the, hey, this kid needs change! Okay, so some things are the same, you know, they all sleep, they all eat, they all do their business, okay? But how they express themselves, even as a kid, our grandkids were just here, Eris and Liberty. Same mom, same dad, same environment they're growing up in, and they are different as day and night from each other. I've known, Eris was with us when she was about Liberty's age, so we know how Eris was then, and now Liberty is totally different than Eris. And that's how the Lord creates us. So every child is different. You can't simply treat every child the same if you're going to rule well. You got to understand, every child has their certain different qualities about every child. Now, when I say that is this, you should have, now think about this, because the next two statements, the next two, point two and point three, are important that you grasp what I'm saying, or you may go off on a tangent that I'm not suggesting that you do. You should have the same rules and the same consequences for every child. You can't play favorites. You can't, if one child does wrong and gets in trouble and the other child does the same thing and doesn't get in trouble, okay, that's going to be problematic in your home real fast. Kids, you know what? Kids know that, don't they? They know that, and they're really keen on that. Well, wait a minute. When I did it, here's what happened. But look what happened. They didn't even get yelled at. And they catch on real fast. Okay, so you got to have the same rules. You got to have the same consequences, whatever it's set up in your home to be that way. But here's what I mean by it. But what it takes to bring each child in submission will not be the same. For example, some children need a whole lot more oversight, while others can be given more liberty. Some children, you can trust them as long as you're looking at them. When you're not looking at them, you better go figure out what they're doing. Some kids, you can say, you know, I haven't saw this child in a, I'm talking about an older child, like a little, wee little child. I haven't saw this child maybe in an hour. He's been playing in his room. And you say, but he's probably fine. I mean, now the other child, as soon as you quit hearing him, you're running. Okay, what's going on? I don't hear you anymore. Okay, but, so every child is unique that way. So you got to know your kids. You got to know what's going on. You can't treat them all the same, but yes, same rules, yes, same consequences, but there is always going to be a difference. Some children, when you're dealing with them, a few words, this is, again, it's something that is kind of, I thought was kind of strange when having multiple kids. Some kids with, you can just say one or two words for them and, I mean, they're straightened up. Just say, hey, don't do that. Okay, that's it. Other kid, you gotta say, don't do that. I'm telling you, I don't ever want to see, I mean, you gotta like give them this long lecture about not doing it before they, okay, not do it. Okay, I got it finally. And so they're just, kids are different that way. Now, when we think about that, let me give you this statement. Ruling well then requires us to learn our children and their differences. If you're gonna rule well, then you got to do some thinking. You just can't be haphazard in dealing with your kids. Means you got to watch them. You got to know what. Again, this is something that just, I suppose I should have known it, but you realize, you know, with this kid, I told this child not to do it, and that was it. I told this child not to do it, and then I told him not to do it, and then I had to be very specific what he should be doing and say, now, I don't ever want to see you doing that again. Why is that? Because not that one child is good and one child is bad. They just respond differently. Same rules, same consequences, but they're not always going to be, the way they respond is going to be the same. Number three. Just kind of flip side of that. Now, when I give it to you, if you don't pay attention, it may sound like I'm saying the exact opposite of what I just said. I'm not. I'm completing what I just said. Number three is this. Not every infraction should receive the same punishment. Excuse me. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, let me back up. What I just said, you have same rules for all the kids. You have the same consequences. And this rule has this consequence for every kid. Okay, I'm not going against that. But not everything that is done wrong should receive the same punishment. Now, here's what I mean by that. You know, there is a difference between disobedience and rebellion. Not every time a child is disobeying, they're rebelling. But sometimes they are. And you got to say, okay, sometimes, whatever. They're not thinking, they're not paying attention, they're just being kids. And they disobeyed what you said. Sometimes there is a heart attitude of, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to do what I want to do, and they are resisting your authority. That's a different situation. Okay? Disobedience is one thing, rebellion is a much worse thing. You can't treat them both the same because they're not the same. Okay? Watch this. Misbehavior and a mistake. There's a difference between the two. There's a difference between when they're doing wrong and they're just being a kid. Now, I'll give you a little testimony here. We had, for a period of time, now our first child was born in 87, our last child number five, was born in 93. In 6 years, we had five kids, so they're pretty close in age. Now, it's for some time, period of time, we had this situation where here's how it appeared to me, to my wife and I. Okay, come down to dinner. And all five kids are getting a huddle and say, all right now. Who's going to spill the milk this time? You spilled it last time. No, you're already in trouble for... Okay, you spill the milk. Okay, ready? Hut! And they go up and they come down the table. And we're sitting there. Okay, we hold hands. Blah, 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 blah. Amen. And as soon as we say amen, someone's like, one. Toop! And there goes the milk all over. So our table's all set. Of course, we have five kids, so the table's extended with all of these in it. The milk's going down between the cracks of the leaves, dripping on the floor. The dog's there getting dripped on, trying to drink up. And it's a whole chaos broke out. And we're like, all right, okay, we thought dinner was ready, but we're going to take a 20-minute break. Let's clean up. Now, I say that kidding. I don't think they planned it, but kids are kids. They make a mess. They get on your nerves. They interfere with things you're doing. They call for your attention. All those things are true. That's being a kid. Okay? There's a difference between being a kid and misbehaving. Okay? Misbehaving is when they're, when you told them not to do something and they went this way and they looked this way and they saw you weren't paying attention and they did it anyways. Okay? That's a different thing. You don't want to treat spilled milk like you would treat, something other. So let me give you that statement. Okay? It's important that you respond consistently to each infraction, okay, but you don't treat spilling a glass of milk like you would, let's say, stealing a candy bar. Now, let's back up just for a moment. Now, we said about responding consistently. Now, within this idea of not every infraction should receive the same punishment, within that, though, is this. Whatever the infraction and corresponding punishment, consequence, whatever it is, whatever you decide for that, I'll talk about the spilled milk. It became a problem for us because it seemed like every meal, milk is getting spilled. So we came up with a rule, which is this. You spill your milk, you don't get any milk for the dinner. Now, really, is that like a serious consequence? No. But it was a consequence, okay? You spill your milk, be careful what you're doing. If you're not just going to knock it over, that was your milk, you're done, okay? You don't get any, we're not going to fill your cup up again. And now, it's not a serious consequence, but it was a consequence. Now, watch this. If we do that for this dinner, so here's Beth, spills her milk, okay, that was your milk. You know, the floor got it, the dog got it, the towel got it, but you didn't get any. Now, the next day, if Holly spills her milk, should we give her some now? No, same infraction, same consequence. Next day, if it's Denny, then the same thing. And it seemed like they were taking turns there. Now, here's what gets you in trouble. When you say, this is a consequence, you get no milk. And then the next day, when they spill the milk, you give them the milk. Then they're thinking, maybe this is like gambling, like throwing the dice. Maybe or maybe not. Or when one child gets in trouble and that they get the consequence, and the next child gets in trouble and they don't get the consequence, and the next child, they get a totally different, instead of now not getting the milk, now you're yelling and screaming and slapping them aside the head, and then the next child does it and you don't even pay attention to it. That's what creates problems. That's not ruling well. So there needs to be a consistency in what we're doing. So not every infraction gets the same, but whatever that consequence is for that particular infraction, it needs to be consistently applied to each of the kids, each of the time. It does no good to, they do something wrong, you ignore it. They do something wrong, you ignore it. They do the same thing. Third time they do it, okay, maybe the third day, third week, whatever. They do it, and then you're yelling and screaming and hollering at them. And then they do it three more times, you ignore it. And then another time, you're beating them half to death. That type of inconsistency is what brings, that's provoking them to wrath. You just need to be consistent about it. Okay, whatever it is that you said, you need to be consistent about it. Now, we're going to go a totally different direction for number four. We're talking about trying to rule our house well. Okay, we've gone from different aspects and different lessons. And this one's talking about mainly the infractions and the consequences, being consistent about it. Now, here's number four, a little bit of different direction, though. You ready? Ruling well requires there to be consistent rules with consistent consequences. Yes, it does. Number four. Sometimes I get ahead of myself and forget to push a button. Number four is this. Allow your children to learn to work while they're young. I think it's very important when you think about ruling our house well. We're preparing them. When you think about our children, we're preparing them for adulthood. And one of the best things you can give your child is a good work ethic. It's one of the best things you can share with them. You know, when you think about this world, here's a funny thing. You talk to Joe Myers and say, Joe, do you ever need any people to, do you ever try to hire people? He'd say, yeah. How hard is it? Pretty hard. Not because people can't do it, but the ones who can do it and he hires, they won't even show up. They have no ethic, no work ethic. They can't understand. And by the way, they show up one day and it's like, okay, now I get the next 3 days off? No, you come the next day. Me, I got to come every day to work? Yes, you come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you come every day to work. And if you come every day, then we pay you. But if I don't come, I don't get paid. No, you don't come, you don't get paid. Wow. When did that start? That's always been that way. Somewhere along the line, they didn't grasp this, that there's a work ethic. You know, it's good to have a good education. Let me tell you this, uneducated people who have good work ethic will still succeed in this life. Because you'll find a way. It's good to have some talent, all those things are good, abilities, talents, education. But I tell you this, if you have the character to work hard, you will succeed in this life. I still believe that America is a land of opportunity. If you have the willingness to work and to put some effort into it, you will succeed. I'm not saying you'll be a millionaire, but you will succeed. A lot of talented, educated, abilified people are on welfare. They're living in poverty because they just can't get out of bed and hold a job. And so, best thing we can teach our kids, if we're going to rule well, prepare them for adulthood, is to teach them a good work ethic. Now, I'll give you a couple of things about this. Now, when I talk about this, here's what I mean. They need to be taught how to work. Not just how to do a job, but how to work on that job. Not just the knowledge, but how to put the effort in to make it happen, to make it right. So let me give you a couple of thoughts about this. Give them age-appropriate jobs and make them do it accurately and appropriately. I mean, you can't take a 3-year-old and say, go mow the field. Okay. But you give them age-appropriate jobs. When our kids are wee little, and this is probably the same thing you did to your kids. They got out their toys. I'm talking about like 2-3-year-old. They got out their toys. It was time to eat. Their job was to make sure all their toys got back in the toy box. That was their big job for the day. But eventually you work into making the bed and, you know, they can do some things, you know, and be age appropriate for them. There's different jobs you can get, but it's just based on, you know, you and what you're trying to teach them. So as they grow older, you give them more responsibility. Because again, you're trying to prepare them. So I read this somewhere along the line, wrote it down. So I pulled it out of my notes. Someone put it this way. Now think about this statement. By the time a child reaches 18, he should know quite well Mr. Sore Back, Mr. Blistered Hands, Dr. Hard Work, and Professor Tired Muscles. These good folks have produced many good adults. Think about those, the previous generation who came out of the Depression, who got through World War II. They didn't have hardly any of the education, the opportunities that we have. But think of what they accomplished. There's a fellow came out of Kentucky, Mr. Newman. He was the deacon over at Victory. He's passed on to heaven now. But he talked about, he grew up, I think his grandparents raised him. And his grandparents, during the Depression, housed people. They had a big farm there. They'd house people and their mule or horse or whatever. I forget what it was, like 5 cents a week or something like that. And they made a profit and ended up buying all this land and did well. I mean, during the Depression, they were profiting, making money. Now, we're just talking about, and I mean this in a kind way, just talking about hillbillies out of Kentucky. I'm not talking about some geniuses out of Harvard, but they knew how to work, they knew how to put some effort, and they accomplished something. That's a good thing to relate to our kids. So ruling well, then, requires us to give our children responsibility and make sure they fulfill them. It does no good to give them the job and then do it for them. You give them the job. If they don't do it right, you tell them to do it again. If they didn't make their bed right, you say, nope, do it again. If you told them to wash the dishes and you go in there and all the dishes still have food on it and stuff, you say, nope, wash them again. Not being mean, you're teaching them some valuable lessons. But if you've ever held a job, let me ask you, if you got a job, now this may not be true anymore, our society is changing, but it used to be, if you had a job and you were given something to do and it wasn't done, what did your boss, was he happy? Did he say, oh, that's right, go home, I'll finish it for you. I know you're tired, go on home, I'll do your work for you and pay you. Is that what your boss did? Your boss said either do the job or you're fired. Now, best way to help our kids is to teach them some effort, some work ethic here. Now, let me give you three conclusionary thoughts. Here's thought one. The goal in our homes is not simply to have peace and quiet. We're not simply trying to get our kids to shut up and sit down and we don't want to hear you. Okay, that's not our goal. Our homes are a place where our children should receive just treatment as well as proper preparation for adulthood. That's what I'm talking about, the idea of ruling well. We want to be benevolent about it. Then you need to be treated properly. You know, it can't be one extreme where you're grabbing them, shaking them, and the other extreme where you're totally ignoring them. Yeah, that's not just treatment. Just treatment, and we're preparing them for adulthood. Last statement. We should lead our homes in such a way to have a positive impact on our children and prayerfully on our grandchildren. That's what we want to do. It's the idea of ruling well.